I have a question for the children today. What is more precious than gold? Even a lot of gold. God, what is sweeter than honey? God's word. Okay. In our scripture today, we're going to be, it talks about that, how God's word or God's commands are more precious than gold, even a lot of gold, and even sweeter than honey, even honey that's just dripping from the honeycomb. Great imagery. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them is great reward. From John, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think in them that you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life." Blessings, Randy, as you come.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be gathered together this morning. You've heard me say this before, but I always love bringing it up because it was so formative for me to getting, honestly, as a pastor even, at Heston College. If you're going to graduate from Heston, you have to take a course called Biblical Literature. And the climax of the Biblical Literature class is that you have to learn the Hausgeschichte. It's a German word, and I probably did not pronounce that perfectly right in German. I'm sorry. Does anybody know what this means in German? Salvation history, or salvation story. And part of the Biblic class is you have to, we literally go through the entire salvation history story, starting with creation and the fall stories and the Exodus and Sinai, and then we see it moves into tribal and confederacy, looking at the 12 tribes of Jacob. And then we see this prophetic vision of the prophets of how they believe God's people are to live and how they treat their neighbor and the orphan. And that's up here, this line. But we see that at the United Monarchy, they fall and it goes below God's prophetic vision. And then you see here the Israel and Judah split. And then here we have Jesus and back up at the prophetic vision. And then it goes on into Pentecost and persecution. And the beautiful part about Hausgeschichte, as we recite it, is at the end of Hausgeschichte, after you've gone through the entire story, you share how your story is a part of this story. And so it emphasizes in a very real way the way God's story and salvation history, we're a part of it. It's a living story. Our story is a part of God's story. I begin with that because this morning we are looking at the spiritual discipline of Scripture. This beautiful Word of God that many of us value and treasure and dig into to help us learn what it means to be part of God's story, to be followers of Jesus. And this morning we have this beautiful focus statement, as Chris has read for us. Digging deeply into Scripture, we discover the story of the movement of God among the people of God, a story that is still being lived and told to this day. So when I saw this word digging, I couldn't help but think about the garden. I pulled out my dirty garden gloves here, still had the dirt on them, and the trowel that has some dirt on it as well. Yesterday we were out in the garden harvesting tomatoes and peppers and onions and red beets, and then for dinner we ate corn on the cob from the local market. And this image of digging is just fits so well for the theme of digging into Scripture. And I have to say real quickly here, the produce that we were harvesting yesterday, as Elias, Angel, and Angelisa helped to plant that produce, and we're very grateful for your help. So thank you. So digging into Scripture. There's a number of different ways I'd like us to consider what it means to dig deeply. Digging deeply could mean reading Scripture like a gardener. Expecting as we dig that produce, for example, yesterday I was digging to get that onion or that red beet. I dig expecting to find beauty and life and something delicious. So that is one image of digging into Scripture. We dig into Scripture in order to find beauty and something that's life-giving. There's a reason we call it good news. Hopefully, as we dig into Scripture, we're finding something good in our lives. Another imagery of digging might be like an archaeologist who's digging, carefully examining all the layers for deeper understanding. And I'm going to explain a little bit more of that in a bit. And then there's a couple images of digging that aren't necessarily the way that we should approach Scripture. For example, a gold miner. A gold miner knows exactly what they're looking for, so that's all they often see. And that is one way to read Scripture, but I don't believe that's the way that God is inviting us to read Scripture when we're only looking for one thing, the thing that we want to see, like a gold digger does. Or then there's also the trench digger, who feels threatened by another approach outside of their understanding of what the Scripture says. And so they keep digging themselves deeper into the trench using their Scriptures to back them up. That's another way that we can dig. But again, I don't think that's quite the way that God's inviting us to dig into Scripture. So this morning we're going to think about digging as a gardener, digging as an archaeologist, digging as a trench digger, and digging as... I lost my last one here. As an architect. And a gold miner. Thank you. Alright, so in our Scripture text today in Psalms, we see the psalmist views the Holy Scriptures and how they are valued and treasured. And here I think I see the imagery of the gardener. Like a gardener is looking for beauty and life and everything that is good as they are getting that produce. Here the writer in Psalms gives us this beautiful imagery of the Scriptures. And the psalmist here would be talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. They wouldn't have had the New Testament Scriptures yet. But we see this beautiful imagery. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That word revive. For the psalmist here, the Scriptures brought life. It brought new life, reviving. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. That word wise, wisdom, is so highly valued as an attribute. The precepts of the Lord are right, in verse 8, rejoicing the heart. For the psalmist here, Scriptures bring joy to the heart. There's something good in the words of Yahweh and God, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. There is a way that is seen, a path of how to live. And there's an enlightening, a new way to look at this that shows the way. It says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever, in verse 9. This idea of enduring, everlasting, it keeps going. When other things fade away, there's something in the Scriptures that have been passed down. And in this culture, it would have been very much orally spoken. Stories that were told around the campfire. And it was enduring from generation to generation to generation. The word of the Lord was enduring. Beautiful imagery. It says the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much more fine gold, sweeter than honey. We have this beautiful imagery here of something that is absolutely precious in the commandments of God and the Word of God. And then in verse 11, moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So here, like I said, I see the imagery of Scripture digging in like a gardener. And as we dig into this word, we find something good. And that's an important word. The Scriptures bring life. They should bring us joy. They should bring us wisdom. We believe that they endure forever and that this is something even bigger than what we can understand. So much we value things by finances and how much it's worth. And here it's saying you can't measure the Word of God by your understanding of finances and value. This is way bigger than that. Sweeter than honey, even much more than fine gold. And so it's important to keep that understanding of Scripture in mind as we then move into the New Testament text in John, where our Scripture in John reminds us that for as good as these Scriptures are, and beautiful and joyful, and make wise the simple and enlighten us, the Scriptures in and of themselves is not our salvation. Let me say that again. The Scriptures in and of themselves is not our salvation. But we read here, they testify on behalf of Jesus the Christ. That's what we read here in John 5, 39 to 40. It says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Here Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, maybe Pharisees or Sadducees. And here I think we see the imagery of the gold miner. Okay, what is a gold miner doing? The gold miner is going in and they're digging, but they're looking specifically for gold. And as they're looking specifically for gold, it's very possible that they're not really too concerned about the other stuff around them. And I think that's what we see here with some of these religious leaders. And looking inward to myself, a part of this, of how I can easily become a gold miner digger too. But they were looking specifically in the Scriptures for things that they could nail Jesus with, without having the eyes to see how much of this Scripture is testifying to Jesus. But they had the gold miner lens. They were only looking for one thing, for how religiously pure they could be and how they followed the Scriptures. That they completely didn't have the eyes to see what was right in front of them, that it testified to Jesus. Whatever these religious leaders had heard or seen, whether in Scripture or in visions, it had not pointed to the true God in Jesus. They did not recognize the truth right in front of them, Jesus, who stood before them. Both rabbinic and mystical strands of Judaism deeply valued the Scriptures. And we see that here in the Psalms text of how valued the Scriptures were. And yet we read how easily it could be to miss the testimony of the Scriptures, even in the Old Testament, the prophecy to Jesus the Christ. And so these religious leaders in John totally missed the point, the testimony to the Christ. In Jesus' reference to this, we have a very clear expression of how the Christian view of the Old Testament points to Jesus, and yet how easily it could be missed for these religious leaders. This Christ-centered understanding of the Scriptures is affirmed throughout the New Testament, where Jesus here so clearly says, these Scriptures all along are testifying to me, Jesus the Christ. Jesus says is the Word, the point of reference for all the words of Scripture. And the importance of the Scripture here is affirmed But Scripture, again, is not the end in and of itself. It's a means to point to Jesus and the salvation in Jesus and God's salvation story that we're a part of. I think there's something really important here in this text in John. And it's very simply, it's this. Jesus is the key to the interpretation of all of salvation history and Scripture. And it's very important, as we understand as Mennonites and Anabaptists, that we do read Scripture from a particular point of view that keeps Jesus at the center. There's many different ways to read the Bible. One way that you might hear is called a flat Bible, where there is the same significance and emphasis is put just as much in the Old Testament as it is in the Gospels, as it is in Paul's writing. And it's flat. There's an equal emphasis. But if that would not necessarily be the case in many of our Anabaptist Mennonite circles, where we would say we don't have a flat Bible, but we have a Christocentric reading of the Scriptures. And basically what that means is, as we interpret the Bible, we always want to bring it back to Jesus and say, does this fit with the words and teachings of who Jesus is? And if it doesn't quite fit, then we want to re-examine it. It doesn't mean we throw it out. We read that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, but we always want to be bringing it back to Jesus and saying, is this consistent with who we see in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount? That's an Anabaptist reading of Scripture, where we keep Jesus at the center. And in this text in John here, that's basically what's going on, is saying, you value the Scriptures. You know them so well. You are religious leaders that, like, literally from the youngest age you can imagine, they were in school learning the Old Testament Scriptures and the Torah. And yet they missed the point that Jesus, the living Word of God, was right in front of them. And they missed that. And Jesus here is saying, none of the Scriptures matter if you don't see me through it and testify to Jesus the Christ. And then ultimately another witness to God the Father. Okay, so there we see the gold miner. We could also dig like an archaeologist. What does an archaeologist do? They examine. They are the scientists who are looking for all the layers and the history and trying to understand the context of what they are digging and finding. An archaeologist is a good understanding, I believe, for Scripture digging, because it says we want to pay attention to context. We want to pay attention to the history. We want to pay attention to the writer. And what did the writer, what were they concerned about? For example, in Matthew, we know that the writer in Matthew is very clearly concerned with a very Jewish audience. And he's very aware of the things that his audience is thinking about. And so it's going to shape the way that he writes the book of Matthew. And that's going to be different maybe from, say, the book of Luke or the book of Ruth, because it's a different author of the text and they're writing to a different audience. And so the archaeologist's view of digging cares about and looks carefully for those cultural contexts and how we interpret. If you go through a course on interpreting Scripture, a word that we often use is called exegesis. It means we want to start with the text, dig deeply into the context and understanding the audience and the writer, and then from that we try to ask, what might this mean for us today? But you can't jump to today without first wrestling with the historical context that it was written in. That's the archaeologist view here. And I think of different people in our congregation here who are archaeologists to the max. Paul Zare is a good example, who just really is great exegete. And many of you as well are great archaeologists digging into the Word. And then last, I would say we could be tempted into falling to the trench digger. Okay, the trench digger is digging trenches. And the reason why I discourage this understanding of digging, and I would love to hear people's views on this as well as you figure this out together, is because trench diggers try to keep digging themselves into a hole as they read scripture. And I'm going to be honest, I think all of us can acknowledge this, including myself, that it's easy to do. When we have a strong conviction, we want our scriptures to back it up. Am I right? That was a leading question, I'm sorry. We are all trench diggers sometimes. I have a firm conviction here. I am going to find my scripture that backed it up. But the reality is, my neighbor right next to me has a different viewpoint. And they're going to have a scripture to back their viewpoint up. Now, wait a second. Now we just each dug ourselves into a trench. We're both using our scriptures to justify it. And yet, we're not at a very healthy place. Because we're so polarized. And we've both used scripture. So what I believe God is inviting us to in this story is not to be trench diggers so much, to more see scripture in bridging us together. To sit down together with a spirit of listening to one another, with a spirit of asking questions instead of trench digging. And, you know, at the end of the day, we might not completely agree, but we both are so convicted that the Word of God is good news, and we want to be formed by it, and we want it to be a part of our convictions. But I would encourage us not to go the trench digging way, but to go more towards the bridge building way, which we see in Scripture as well. So we see these different ways of digging. And the last thing that I want to suggest is that as we dig together. Okay? Going back to how we planted that produce, Angel, Angelisa, and Azzy, who, by the way, had a birthday this week, 10 years old. We dug together, right? We were digging holes. And how fitting is that for an Anabaptist way to approach Scripture? We dig together. It's in our vision statement and mission statement, figuring out together how to follow Jesus. This is so important as an Anabaptist Mennonite congregation, that we approach the spiritual discipline of scripture reading together. Because we truly believe that we interpret scripture in community. It's not just me up here saying, I believe I interpreted scripture this way and this is what it's going to be. In some traditions, you will find that. There is much more of a top-down hierarchical approach to how we interpret scripture. But the Anabaptist Mennonite approach to discerning scripture and reading scripture is much more communal. It's much more sitting around the small group, around the table, the dinner table, digging in together. That's a beautiful picture of spiritual discipline of Scripture and interpreting together. And so in that spirit of digging together, I had asked a few other people to reflect a bit on this spiritual practice of Scripture reading. I had asked Mary Zare, Janelle Kaufman, and Claire Kaufman. And unfortunately, Mary and Janelle were not able to be here this morning. Claire is, and he will be sharing in a bit. But I'm very fortunate that Mary and Janelle both sent me some things and said, feel free to share it. And so I wanted to bring a few of their thoughts into this sermon as well, because we truly are figuring this out together. So I simply asked the question, how do you read Scripture? How do you approach this spiritual discipline? And if you've ever heard Mary Zare read scripture up front, when she did it one time, I was just, oh man, she just brought me in with the way she read scripture, and I was intrigued by that. And she explained a little bit more how she reads scripture, and she's very intentional about this discipline. She said, I imagine, this is a quote, I imagine that I am telling the story to a friend, and tell it as if I was talking directly to them. I sort of lay reading aside, even though I give it word for word as it is written. And if I'm at the place that someone is talking directly to Jesus or someone else in Scripture, I try to read that as if I personally was talking to him or her, telling him or them in the story. So when she reads with such expression, she's right there in the story, an expression of praise I try to give as I was talking directly to the person. She says, I like to be alone when I'm reading aloud to myself. For example, in the Psalms, I then can read with expressions of joy and anger, doubt, frustration, as if it was my own. I love that Mary said that. She just reads with all of the emotions, and she does it out loud, so she can kind of enter into the story and join the writer in a very real way. I read like the person was in the room and I was conversing directly to them. If an expression of joy, sound joyful. If angry, sound like you are frustrated and angry. And then she talks about when she reads scripture in public, how she likes to practice ahead of time so that as she's reading it in public, she can convey all of those emotions in the same kind of way, like she's a part of that story. So I really appreciated Mary's perspectives there on this spiritual discipline. And she also gave credit to Joe Miller, our bishop, who she said, Joe Miller's father was a super reader. And it was from him I got my desire to read the scriptures the way I do. So it's pretty cool. And then I asked Janelle, and I appreciated Janelle's vulnerability as well. So when you see Mary and Janelle the next time and Claire, thank them for their vulnerability in sharing this. I really appreciated it. Janelle was vulnerable, and she said, daily scripture and reading devotions has been a challenge for me at times, especially with the busyness of life, raising children, and so forth. And she acknowledged that she often would approach scripture reading as a should. I should read scripture. But then she was consumed with feelings of failure for not doing it. I really appreciated that vulnerability, and I could identify with her there. She said, but recently I have recommitted to reading scripture daily. She talks about the Bible app, which was very helpful to her, and many different reading plan options. And she chose to engage in the Read the Bible in 1 year. It provided spaces for devotion and opening herself into the scriptures. She said the devotional has a great way of bringing all the scriptures together. But this is the part that I love the most of what she said. She said, I no longer look at scripture as a should. It is rather humbling myself and simply saying, I need you today, God. And then with that posture, opening herself up to the scriptures. I see that as the gardener. That's going in saying, I need you today, God, and then finding something good and formative in the Word of God. And right before Claire comes up here, I want to say one more thing that I think is really important in how we dig together. I want to name our Grow team and all of our Sunday school teachers who encourage us and help us to dig into Scripture. I think about even like our Bible memory that happens here maybe once a quarter or more. It's intentional. There's a point in doing this. There's a habit in reading Scripture and our children doing that together. It says something about who we are and how we put value on God's Word and letting the words form us. I think about even the Sunday school class that we just came from, where Merle led us, and together we engaged in the Scripture together. We dug together, and we heard each other's perspectives, and it was good. We learn these stories in Scripture, whether it's the youngest kindergartner or first grader to 90-year-old person in our church. We learn these stories because we believe that God speaks through them, that we can learn to know God and God's story, that it's a living word, and that Jesus is speaking to us, and that the Spirit of God is at work. We learn these stories together as a gathered community in church to help us understand what they meant so long ago and then to ask what might it mean for us today, right here in our lives, as we're a part of God's story. We dig into scriptures to grow in our relationship with God, to grow spiritually, to grow in how we do justice, work for peace, grow in our love for God, love for others, grow in our understanding of who we are in God's eyes and our identity in God's eyes. Grow in how we join God in the work of mission in God's kingdom. So we grow, and like I said, growing together. I'd like to invite Claire up. I invited him just to share a little bit as well on this spiritual discipline. After Claire is done sharing, I'm going to come back up, and I would like us to read in the blue hymnal number 841 together. So Claire, thanks for your vulnerability and being willing to share as well. I really appreciate it.
So first, a confession. Randy emailed me and made this request, and my heart kind of sank, because of all the spiritual practices, you know, this is one that I just don't feel like I've mastered at all, or that I've practiced well. I remember Randy's words about what practice is. So, what do I have to say? I'd like to just sit here and listen to Mary talk for a while. But I thought maybe I'd just reflect a bit on my personal experiences of reading the scriptures over the years, and kind of end with sharing what I sense that I need and want to strive for, or what I'm looking for, what I'm seeking in the scriptures right now, in my journey. So, a long time ago, when I was in middle school and high school, I was an avid reader and memorizer of scriptures. I don't know. It was the time of my life. I had a lot of time on my hands, and I think in about a 4-year period of time, middle school into high school, I think I read through the Bible 3 or 4 times, and memorized huge passages of scripture with the Bible quizzing. It was a part of Max's Bible quizzing. And so I had this tremendous immersion in the scriptures. And there was a part of that that I thoroughly enjoyed. And then there was also a significant element of it where I can resonate with Janelle, where it was a should. I felt like reading the scriptures was one of the fruits of the Spirit instead of a tool to develop the fruits of the Spirit. And then as I grew, of course, you know, in high school and after high school, I had lots of opportunities to avail myself to deeper study and learning, going to Bible school, in my late 20s, teaching at a Bible school, and just engaging with the scriptures in a very intentional way. Especially, I remember with my co-teachers there at the Bible school and with the students, just there was many parts of that were so rich. But on a parallel track with all that, there were many things that happened along the way in relation to the scriptures that still I hold in my memory and my heart. And let me just share some of those with you. And they're not necessarily easy memories, but a lot of experiences, where the scriptures, you know, rather than, it be figuring out the Word of God together and what this means for us, I experienced situations where it was this person or that person studying the scriptures so they could prove the other person wrong. And, you know, where I might have been caught in the middle of that. And kind of coming to the scriptures to come to that point of certainty where I could convey that to someone else or defend myself. Where the scriptures or Sunday school class was just a great opportunity for argumentation or debate or proving oneself right. And the trench digging where you went there to reinforce your own dogma, and that's why you approach the scriptures. And not that wasn't my whole experience. It was just kind of a steady theme. But it kind of came to a climax in my 30s, and where I just kind of began to feel this sense of I didn't enjoy the scriptures. To me, they were just too contentious. You know, I'd come to this passage, and in my mind, I just hear all these voices. Well, you can't believe it that way, or it means this, or And instead of hearing the voice of God through the scriptures, I just heard all these other voices. And you know, arguing. Not just, you know, kind, leading voices that, you know, might have helped me to sort it through, but in the background, just a muddle. I remember, must have been about 10 years ago now, a good friend of mine sharing with me a quote from Dallas Willard. He says, you know, we come to the scriptures thinking that we're going to nail them. And what we really need to do is come to the scriptures and let the scriptures nail us. And, you know, that's something that's really hard to do over and over and over again, especially maybe when we come to the scriptures with an academic perspective. And I so appreciate that academic perspective. It's been a tremendous resource for me. I love to read people that put their energies into academic approach to the scriptures. And yet, I feel the call to my life at this point in my life is really to learn how to receive from the scriptures and to hear the voice of God in the scriptures. Those of you who have studied left brain, right brain, you know, brain science, it's as if I've spent a great deal of my life exercising my left brain as I came to the scriptures. And I really long to come to the scriptures and receive more with a right brain, more with a right brain posture. For the honest academic, the scriptures can be quite perplexing. And I am definitely very strong on the left brain. I'm a black and white thinker. And yet, as I read the scriptures, there's so many things that are quite perplexing. They don't, you know, it's like, and then you just kind of have to come back to Christ. And I remember a period of my life for about 5 years, all I read was the Gospels because I couldn't make sense of any of the rest. And even Christ himself says some things that just kind of throw you off. I guess the image that I just want to hold in my heart right now is that, you know, well, there is that image in the scriptures, the water, the washing of water by the word. Letting the scriptures wash over us, and like a good piece of steak, letting that, just soaking in that, just marinating in that word. And rather than analyzing what that marinade is made of and whether there's too much garlic in it or not, just sitting there and letting it develop its meaning. I think sometimes in the past I've come to the scriptures and said, I've got to know, I've got to decide. And rather than just receiving the word of God from me at that time, and whether it was a simple understanding or a complex understanding, just receiving it and knowing that if the God of the scriptures wants to say more, he'll bring that to me at another time, at a future time. And that's why I like the picture of the marinade, because it just sit there. You don't really understand all the nuances of that marinade, but you kind of know the whole thing put together is good, and you just want to sit there and let it develop you. So I think that somehow we need to get the stories in there. We need to get the scriptures in there and take them in, even if it requires bringing them in with our left brain, you know, just reading and scripture study. But then just holding it there with an open hand and saying, you know, over time, this deep well of having taken in the scriptures is going to develop meaning and direction in my life. And so that's one of my goals right now. And I hope that can be inspiration to you. I came this morning hoping for inspiration in my life. I want to thank Randy for giving it to me.
Claire, thank you so much for sharing with us a bit of your journey. I love the imagery of marinating in the scriptures. Thank you. As a response, and just to center this back on Jesus and the Word, I'd invite you to turn to number 841. And I love this scripture. It's from John 1. And if you would be willing to read the bold and italicized, and I'll begin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen.